we've been following all the developments in Egypt over the past 18 or 19 days since the beginning of the uprisings there. And now there seems to be a very, very quick timetable for making fundamental democratic change in Egypt. We get news this morning that with Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak out, the Egyptian army has very quickly picked up the reins of power. They have set a six-month timetable to get ready for elections in September. And within 2 months, they want to vote on some constitutional changes there. And they've appointed a judge to head a committee to write up those constitutional changes. Joining us now live from Cairo is the BBC's Hugh Sykes. Good morning, Hugh, or good afternoon there in Egypt.
Well, good morning there in New York. Good morning, New York, and good afternoon from Egypt. Yes, I'm leaning on a balcony overlooking famous Tahrir Square, where the traffic has returned, and there are a few hundred protesters still there, various different groups, some of them the original democracy protesters. Others are different interest groups who've suddenly taken advantage of this great new freedom here to say what you want. Under the years of General Mubarak, the dictatorship supported by the Mukhabarat secret police, people weren't free to speak, but now they can come out. And so an extraordinary kind of array of disparate interest groups have been out in the square over the past few days. The democracy protesters joined by various telecommunications workers wanting pay rises, ambulance drivers wanting pay rises, and even, believe it or not, the assistant police who were assisting the secret police, the thugs, to beat up the protesters only a few days ago. They were out on the square yesterday in vigorous and heated but non-violent debate with a lot of the ordinary people of Cairo and the democracy protesters saying, look, actually, we were only obeying orders, that old excuse. We're poor too. We had to support our families. This was a dictatorship. We couldn't dare disobey orders, but now we need a pay rise, so we're off to the Ministry of the Interior. It's a fascinating post-revolutionary situation. The revolution was only on Friday night. We're already into post-revolution.
Well, I'm kind of struck by how quickly you've made the transition from calling him President Mubarak to General Mubarak. It rolls trippingly off your tongue there, Hugh. I'm wondering if the country is actually going to be able to make this transition so quickly. A 6 month seems like a very short deadline for bringing about completely fair elections and constitutional changes that are supposed to be completed in 2 months. That's fast.
Yeah, and there's an even faster timetable. This panel of civilian experts have only got 10 days to revise the constitution and come up with a program that will lead to free and fair elections properly observed in 6 months from now. But hey, this is a very, very sophisticated country. What has been fascinating for me over the past few days, I arrived on Friday morning. Hey, brilliant timing. They're Friday night. We had to throw everything away that we'd already recorded because suddenly, from where I'm standing now, looking out over Tahrir Square in the dark, absolutely packed with, I would say, 250,000 people minimum, there was suddenly this massive, great roar. And standing where I'm standing now, looking out at the square, I looked at my colleagues and I said, what's that about? That's louder than it's ever been. And one of my colleagues looked at his BlackBerry, checked the wires and said, he's gone. Now, out there in that crowd, when I went out there, and I've been speaking to people ever since, every day, all over the city, not once have I found any trouble whatsoever finding educated people, English-speaking people, cultivated people, all of whom have been living in this society where the lid has been kept on them for years by this terrible dictatorship. But somehow there's been this undercurrent of education, civilization, and a determination to be free one day. And actually, I don't think 6 months is that quick. There was going to be presidential elections in 6 months anyway. Mubarak said he was going to go in time for those presidential elections anyway. I think this country is pretty capable, with its extraordinary resources, resilience, and depth of education, to achieve that. And there is this determination to do it.
Now, Hugh Sykes, once we get to 6 months from now in presidential elections, you know, free elections, well-run elections, everybody gets to vote, is one thing. But one concern we've been hearing on this show is that a lot of the people on the Supreme Military Council are the same people who were well-enriched under Hosni Mubarak, that other powerful people in Egypt are still well-enriched, they're all cronies, that they aren't going anywhere, and anyone who stands for presidency, who has a chance of getting reelected, is likely to be, if you will, a member of the kleptocracy. Is there any concern on the street about that?
Of course, and some people have already said to me, look, we've half won. We have to make sure that they've all gone. And in fact, one of the biggest banners out there on the square in front of me until yesterday, I think it was still up, in amongst all the Arabic banners, there was one huge banner in English which simply said, we demand the fall of the regime. And I asked somebody, I said, that's interesting. It doesn't say Mubarak. And he said, no, we have to get rid of all those people. And I would hazard a guess that such is the strength of the democracy movement here that in a lot of areas of this country, Alexandria, Cairo and other places, possibly to a lesser extent out in the rural areas, there may be a crony candidate for the presidency, but I don't think he'll do very well. But the other aspect of this is the army is a business in this country. This is a military industrial complex, the Egyptian army, which has been propped up and funded to a large extent by the United States, which is a kind of a washing machine, a money laundering operation. All these tanks that are still on the streets here, in particular outside the state television station, which I just walked past, 12 armored personnel vehicles, 8 Bradley tanks, you know, made in the USA. So all this money comes from America into the army, and it goes back to the America with the army buying American military hardware. The army is also a business here. They run toll roads, not freeways, of course, that's a contradiction in terms, toll motorways, toll highways. They run beach resorts. They run hotels. They run shopping malls. So they have huge business interests, and they want to go back to being able to be involved in those. So I don't think there are going to be very many people associated with the army who want to hang on to their business interests, who are going to try and get involved in politics and take the danger of actually being kicked out and not being voted in.
Well, I know who's getting involved in politics, and that's the Muslim Brotherhood. They were banned for a long time, but now they say they're going to form a political party. Any sign, Hugh, that what the many people in the West feared for so long, that the downfall of the Mubarak regime would allow for the rise of extremists in Israel? Is there any sign of that?
No. So,
I mean, in Egypt, excuse me.
Celeste, I think that that is an absolutely unnecessary anxiety. The Muslim Brotherhood say they don't want power, they want representation. They want to be able to represent their constituency, which is probably about 30% of the country. This is not Iran. There's no Ayatollah waiting in Paris to go in after the Shah has been kicked out. This is not a fundamentalist Islamic society. And the cafe that I was sitting in yesterday, called the Horeya Cafe, which means the Freedom Cafe, they apologized to me because they'd run out of beer because their beer supplies had been interrupted by the protests. This is a very, very pluralist place, and I do not believe that it will become an Islamic fundamentalist state like Iran.
Nobody lays it out for you like the BBC's Hugh Sykes. Nobody else can talk about a democracy in Egypt by giving you an example about beer supplies. Hugh Sykes is there in Cairo, Egypt. Thank you so much, Hugh.
Cheers, Hedley.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.